Will you pray with me, please? God of courage, God of love, God who calls on us to live into your miracles, be with us today. Open our hearts so we can feel your love and your courage. Amen. So in the passages that we just heard, first from the book of Isaiah, we are reminded these promises that there will be a sign, there will be a child, and that child will come from the house of David. And now let's all consider the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. A little bit before what we just heard, we have this genealogy. And because I'm a nice person and because I care about Dana very much, I did not have her read the entire genealogy of 14 generations. But I'll give you some highlights. First of all, one of the things that's striking about the genealogy that we see here in the Gospel of Matthew is that there are women in it. Typically, especially in this time period, the only people who would be named are the men. As we have talked about many times, the problem of sexism and not seeing women as fully being human beings was certainly an issue in this time. But women are named in this genealogy, this radical idea that women are people, that women have something to do with genealogy. So here we have this account, and in it, it's not just like we start with David, and then these other folks loved each other very much, and then these people loved each other very much. No, this genealogy is a mess. This is a message of hope for anyone who feels like you are cornering the market on messed up families. It is, thank you, yes, it is dysfunctional. I will not go into great detail, but there is an incredible violence. There are stories of non-consent. There's a prostitute. There's a foreigner in Ruth. There are many people that you don't often hear about in the lectionary texts, the texts that are typically what we hear on Sundays. But what's very, very interesting in all of this, other than kind of knowing, like, all right, so Jesus comes from a complicated family, just like most people do, is that when it gets to the end, we hear, and Jacob, father of Joseph, husband of Mary, of whom Jesus is born and called the Messiah. So this whole lineage does not come down to Mary and then Jesus. This whole lineage comes down to Joseph. And yet, Jesus is of the house of David. What does that tell us about our own families? Our own families where we, here in this church, so many of us have chosen who is our family. We have chosen and said, you are just as real to me as blood. Let me tell you a little bit about Joseph. Joseph was courageous. We don't know a lot about him. We don't know a lot about who he was, how he thought, what he did, but we know this. We know that he was a pretty decent guy, because just like today, if a couple is engaged and then suddenly there's going to be a baby, and the two people engaged did not make that child, that relationship might not go on. So Mary comes to Joseph and shares this big news. And the first thought he has is one of courage. And he gets a little braver as he goes on. Because his first courageous act was the thought that he would just quietly dismiss her. Now, why is that a courageous act? It's a courageous act because in his cultural context, in the laws that governed him, what should have happened to Mary? in case you're not up to speed with Deuteronomy, and I myself had to, I had to do some research on that this week. Let me tell you what Deuteronomy says. Now, this would be the law that Joseph would be living by. If a young woman who is a virgin is engaged to one man and another impregnates her, you bring both of them to the city gates and there stone them until they die. The young woman, because she did not call out for help in the city, and the man, because of the fact that he humiliated his neighbor's wife. Remove such evil from your community. So his very first thought was to go against the law and not allow her to be killed. And then, as many great things happen in Scripture, he has a dream and a message and knows that actually he needs to go further than that, because he loves Mary. Because Mary is a human being who matters. She would not survive. She would not survive if Joseph had not done what he did. Know that whatever your belief is about the virgin birth, know this, that with word being spread that this child was conceived not with the man with whom she was betrothed, there would be no Mary and there would be no Jesus if not for Joseph deciding to do the right thing. Not because Jesus contained his DNA, but because of love and because of courage. And this is no small thing. Because let me tell you, people were talking. This was not an easy situation for him. This was not something that would be taken lightly. And what has Joseph taught all of us in this? That when we are called by God to love, we love. And MCC Tampa, we are awesome at it. So I want you to think about Jesus' parents. And I'm talking about the human beings, the one who brought him into the world in her own body, and also the one who helped to raise him. Last week, we heard the Magnificat, the song of praise by Mary, in which she says, God brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Mary was radical and powerful, and recognized that although she was absolutely considered lowly, she was completely blessed by God in that terrifying moment of knowing that there was a child growing inside her and that everyone would look at her and see shame instead of joy. And then we have Joseph, who chooses love. Joseph, who chooses the right thing. Joseph, who chooses Jesus. There are a lot of us in this church who have chosen love. There are a lot of people in this church who have had the ability, I don't understand how it works, but like you can apparently make human beings with another human being. I don't get it. My family came pre-made. We choose love when we bring children into the world using our bodies. We choose love when we take the kids that other people have already made and we choose them for ourselves. We choose love when we turn to our neighbors and say, you matter. Because it's not just about the raising of children, it's about the raising of community. There's all these arguments about whether or not love is a choice, and I say that love absolutely 100% is a choice. I'm not saying sexual orientation is a choice. What I'm saying is we choose to love, and choosing to love takes courage, a lot of courage. Loving another person is a terrifying thing. Stepping into a situation that sounds really complicated, I'm sure that I mean, it's really good that social media didn't exist back then, right? The status updates alone would have been very confusing. People would have been jumping back in Joseph's timeline to figure out when all this happened. Joseph chose love and has taught us what that means. We get to create our families, all of us. We create our families. Before Thanksgiving, I told you that if going to see your family of origin was going to break your spirit, to not go. I have encouraged you throughout the last month to focus on the families that we create. And if you want to give it a go with your family who doesn't quite understand you, good. Give it a go. And if you don't want to, don't. Because what we get to choose is love. And we get to choose how our courage is shaped and how it shapes us. So when we want to be courageous together, sometimes that means showing up here at church. Sometimes it means preparing a meal for a family, knowing that not everyone who shows up is going to understand us. We can wait for a lot of things here in Advent, in the season of waiting. Sometimes we can wait for the people who really don't get it to get on board. Sometimes we can wait and we can pray for patience in the waiting as people say, but you're not like really a couple. You're not, your love isn't real. Remember those days not that long ago before we could marry each other and we were told again and again and again, why would LGBT people want to have weddings? It's not like your love is as real or as good as straight people. And all of us who hear again and again that we're not real enough, that the families that we've created aren't real, and who are straight allies who are here, and maybe your friends say, why do you go to that church with all those gay people? Is that a real church? We say, yes, it is a real church. We are real. We are real just like Joseph is real, just like Jesus is real. We are real. And we can wait for a lot of things, but we cannot wait to be real. We cannot wait to have that courage to name our truth. We cannot wait to be recognized and loved and held and told that we are beautiful and perfect just the way that God made us. Because God loves the love that we have, and God loves who we are, and God loves who we have been called to be, and we have the courage to recognize that. So what can't wait in your life? What have you been waiting for and you can no longer wait? It's possible that you will wait forever for some things. It is possible that you will wait forever for people to understand you and your family dynamic. It is possible that you will live your whole life being told again and again and again that you are not good enough, that you are not whole, that you are not real. And you can wait on those folks to get it. Or you can stop waiting. You can love them where they're at. But when you stop waiting, you acknowledge that you're already real. You're already here. You're already living the life that God has called you to live. And you have the courage to love. And here we are right before Christmas. We had a great concert last night. We are in the season of celebrating. We're also in the season of stress. I have not yet made it 7 whole days in the season of Advent without hearing that a friend of a friend has committed suicide. Every single week of Advent, someone I know has lost someone to suicide. And that has happened year after year. What can't wait is love. That's what this tells me. This season, that is, everyone is smiling and saying, this is the season of joy and happiness. And people are waiting to be happy and maybe not finding it. What can't wait is courage. The courage to hang on and make it past those days when we are going to take down all these trees. The pressure will be lifted for these family gatherings. The deep deep sadness that so many people in our communities feel around this season. It takes a lot of love and a lot of courage to get through it. So let's think about Joseph. Let's think about this guy. He'd met Mary. She was great. I imagine she was like really pretty and lovely. And he really liked her, got engaged, everything's going well, and suddenly things are not going as planned. Joseph didn't wait. He took a little bit of time to figure out what he was going to do, but he did not wait. He stood firm. He decided who he was going to be. He was going to make the choice of love, and that, my friends, is what we will do. Even when the situation is not what we expected, even if it's not what we wanted, we will choose love. Because how we love each other is how we make family, no matter what. And it's okay if someone wants to stand outside with a sign and tell us we're not good enough. Because we will choose love, and nothing can harm us, nothing can hurt us, nothing can take away the reality that we love each other because God has told us to share God's love with each other. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones, Mary tells us, and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. This message of Christmas is a message for every single one of us who has ever been told that we are lowly, that we are broken, that we are not good enough, that we are not worth it, because Jesus' family was a mess. Jesus' lineage, this house of David, was full of all kinds of people, some unsavory, some very complicated. And why does this matter to us? Because you don't have to be perfect to walk through that door. All you have to have is love and nothing else. Amen.